Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Christina Massey, the daughter of Derek Massey, to talk about his life in Africa and Asia. Derek arrived in Dar es Salaam with little money, no local knowledge, and no idea of the challenges he'd face under Africa's intense sun. A young Englishman, he'd never ventured beyond Switzerland before taking a job in Tanzania's hides and skins department, making the start of a 50-year career across Africa and Asia. His book, What a Life, captures Derek's journey through diverse cultures, risks, and remarkable experiences in a continent that quickly became home. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's lovely to have
you with
us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And nice that you can come on and tell your dad's story, because he's not too well. Is that right?
No. So he has terminal cancer, but he also has dementia. And he actually started writing this book when he was first diagnosed because he wanted us to know about his life. And then as the more he wrote, that's when it came to him that this actually could be a book that other people might be interested in. So with his dementia, he isn't really able to do anything like this anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but lovely that you're able to.
Yeah, thank you.
So I know that lots of people had always said to him when he started talking about his experiences throughout his life, people said, my goodness, you should write a book. So it's something yes. that he's always thought about.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think he has had all sorts of experiences that many, many people don't have, but also experiences no one will ever have again. So things like crossing the Kalahari before GPS and cell phones, you would just tell somebody in one village, I'm going to this next village, and that they would phone on a landline the next village and say, you know, Derek Massey's on his way. If he's not there in 3 days, we have to go looking for him.
Oh, gosh.
And those sorts of things don't happen anymore, because you would have GPS and a satellite phone and, you know, and all these sorts of things. But the way that he lived in Africa, I think, is really a thing of the past.
Yeah, gosh. So what years are we talking? When did he move there and what took him there initially?
So he moved there in 1962, and largely he was drawn there because he loved rugby. So rugby has been an ongoing theme throughout his life. And when he was at agricultural college, there were some men from Kenya who were really good at rugby. So he thought he was from a farming background, and he wasn't the oldest boy, so he wasn't going to inherit the family farm. And he thought, well, I might as well go and farm in Kenya then. But actually went out, so he got a job with the government. At the time, Tanganyika was a British colony. So he had a job with the British government, his first job in Tanzania, working in the skins and leather industry.
Gosh, amazing. And he married there, did he?
Yeah. So my mum was a Peace Corps volunteer. She, so that's an American voluntary thing that a lot of young people do after university, was started by JFK, who had this big idea of, you know, not just taking from society, but wanting to give something back. So my mum went out to teach English in Africa, and they met in Tanzania. And quite interestingly, when the three Peace Corps volunteers arrived in this small town in Tanzania, the three British men who lived there sort of all picked, yeah, I'm going to marry that one, I'm going to marry that one, I'm going to marry that. And they did. And they all had four children, and they're all still married to this day.
So. Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's amazing. What a great
Isn't it? Yes.
story. Wow.
So sometimes snap decisions are good decisions.
Definitely. And did they all remain in touch as well?
Yes. So unfortunately, one of the men has passed away. But yes, they are all in touch, and they meet up periodically as well. So one of them lives in America, the two live in England. But when everyone's in the same country, they all get together. Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely. So how did your father go from just visiting and starting this job to staying there for 50 years?
Yeah. There is something about Africa. Africa is a really amazing, sort of just enchanting place. And I think also the people, the culture of the people really fit, I think, with the way my father grew up in Staffordshire. So family is kind of everything, and everyone pulls together to help each other. And I think that was how he was raised in Staffordshire. And I think that was also kind of, that's a lot of the African culture. People will really help you. And I remember when I was a kid there and I'd like fall off my bike, other little children who didn't know me would run over and try and help me. Whereas I think in England, people wouldn't help you, or they'd laugh or whatever, or nervously walk away. But in Africa, it's a really enchanting place. So he just took aid job after aid job out there, just because he loves Africa and we all loved Africa.
How nice. So different countries did you live in?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so my parents met in Tanzania, but they married in Botswana, and three of us were born in Botswana. We've also lived in Kenya, Uganda, Ghana. My dad then went on to live in Nigeria and Djibouti, Somaliland. And, of course, we lived in Afghanistan for a while as well. So,
gosh,
yes.
Amazing. And how do you begin to tell people what all these different countries were like? I mean, some of them are countries that people might visit on holiday. You know, Kenya's a beautiful place to visit and do safari and things, but some of the other countries you mentioned aren't typical tourist destination for Westerners at all.
No, absolutely. So when we lived in Afghanistan, it was very safe and very lovely, so I think it's changed a lot since we were there. But I think, like, Somaliland, where my dad lived when he was there, there were more landmines than pens in the country.
Oh my goodness.
And you never strayed from the tire tracks of another vehicle, because you knew if another vehicle had gone down there, then there were no landmines. If you pulled over to the side to let someone pass, you could hit a landmine and you would die. So, yes, places like Somaliland, at least when he was there, were incredibly dangerous. Djibouti was very safe because the French Foreign Legion police it. So there is sort of almost zero crime just because they are there. But it is difficult. And the question I hate the most is, where are you from? Because
yes.
I'm half American, half English, grew up in Africa, but I didn't even grow up in one country. I can't even say I'm from Botswana, because although I was born there, I left when I was very young. So an incredible kind of life, but also no roots.
Yes. It's wonderful, though. Do you feel that you... Is there a country that you'd say that you'd call home, or do you feel that affinity with multiple countries?
I feel an affinity with multiple countries. I think the country that informed me as a person the most was Kenya. I think I must have been there at kind of a pivotal point in my development, but I think I'm very, very kind of informed by Kenyan culture. But that said, I think the country that I loved the absolute most was Ghana. Ghana, I don't know why Ghana hasn't got an absolutely amazing tourist industry. The people are wonderful. It's got white sandy beaches, palm trees, wonderful weather. It's an amazing place. And the Ghanaians are just such lovely, lovely people. So, yes, if I ever had to leave England, I think I would try and, I don't know, claim asylum in Ghana. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, how lovely. And do you go back to Africa much as an adult? Is it somewhere you go on holiday and have taken your family?
No, so I haven't taken my son, partly because there is a lot of vaccinations and so on for going to Africa. And I wouldn't want to put him through that for a couple of week holiday. But I have gone back since I lived there, and it has changed a lot. And also I have these wonderful memories of it as it was. And I also don't want to lose those by going back. And, you know, maybe there's trouble in some of those countries now or things like that. But I would like to take my son to Botswana, to show him where mummy was born.
Lovely. And do you have lots of photographs of these times, both you and your father?
Absolutely, yes. And we were going to actually include photographs in the book, but we wanted it published as quickly as possible because we wanted to come out before he died. So it would have slowed down the publishing process. So we didn't do that. But yes, there's lots of pictures of, you know, crossing basically rivers with Land Rovers and camping in the middle of nowhere where there's just no sign of civilization in any direction. And but also, you know, really wonderful things. So because the weather is so predictable on the equator, We would have birthday parties with sort of 200 people because we knew we could have it outside because we knew it wasn't going to rain. So these massive parties and get-togethers and wonderful lifestyle that you can have in Africa.
Oh, nice. So why did you all leave?
Well, because we were only there really because of Dad's jobs. So, and Dad worked right up into his 70s. He was in Pakistan for the last sort of 10 years. But you know, some countries like Kenya, you can't buy property unless you are a Kenyan. So we were there sort of by, we were there by invitation.
Yes.
And when the jobs ended, you know, we sort of had no kind of reason to be there or right to be there. So,
So it was your dad, obviously, or your parents that chose to come back to England?
Yes, yes.
So how old were you when you came to England?
I came back when I was 12.
Gosh, yeah. Okay. So England must feel like a big home to you too.
It does, but because I'm half American, I lived in Chicago for quite a while as well. So I haven't been here the whole time since I was 12. And my sister lives in California. And obviously half my family are in America as well. So, yes.
Wow, amazing. Over. Gosh. So has your son grown up doing a fair bit of traveling himself? Do you want to show him as much of the world as possible?
Yes, and also we're a very, so he's half Portuguese, my sister-in-law is Turkish, so it is a bit like the United Nations in our house.
Oh, I love that. How lovely. Yeah, I mean, he must have friends and who are just English, you know, and don't have any of that background at all. I mean, they must be fascinated by him and his family background. I know with my husband, I'm English and my family background is English and it goes back quite a few generations like that. But he's got Irish, he's got Spanish, he's got Polish and Indian, I find it fascinating, and talking to him about his family history is just amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, my dad doesn't anymore, but he used to have all sorts of African decor in his house as well. And my friends always thought that was very weird, like African masks and sort of shields and things. And I've got quite a lot of carvings and batiks in my house from Africa. And sometimes people do ask, like, why have you got that? So I explained to them what it means and where it's from.
Yeah. So your dad must be very, very pleased and happy that the book is out now, is he?
Absolutely. He's so proud, which I'm kind of surprised at, because he's achieved a lot in his life. But I think writing this book was probably his proudest moment. And when the books arrived, because we had some pre-ordered copies come, his first thing he said was, I wish I could tell my mum.
Oh, which, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Which I think is a really, really sweet thing. But yes, he's very, very proud of this book. And I think he wants people to know, because I think in this country especially, we hear a lot about Africa when there's a war or when there's a famine, but actually to show the sort of beautiful side of Africa and the more beautiful side of African people. Because I think the news only reports the bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And most of Africa is not bad. Most of it is wonderful.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. And are there any kind of, it must be difficult to pick out, I suppose, but highlights for him that he's written about in the book that are really, really special that you can pass on?
Well, the thing I like the most is the story about getting a hippo out of a swimming pool, because I don't
that
know.
I did not I expect.
Would, I don't know if I would know how to get a hippo out of a swimming pool. But basically what you do is you pile rocks in one corner and it will walk out by itself. Yeah, there you go. But the story he tells the most is the night that a sort of wild tortoise came up to his campsite and just spent the night next to him. So it walked up, and I guess because in the desert it gets very cold at night, he was just camping outside, and I guess this tortoise could sort of sense the heat maybe from the campfire and from my dad, and slept right next to my dad.
Oh, that's gorgeous. How special.
That's his favourite story.
You don't get that in England, do you?
No, that wouldn't happen. Or if something's gone very wrong, if you have got a wild tortoise coming to spend the night with you.
Oh, amazing. And I have to ask you about the title Wadda Life. Very clever. Where does Wadda come from? It's WADDA.
I think that's his Staffordshire-ness. Okay. I think it's because my dad actually grew up speaking a dialect in rural Staffordshire, and I think they would say more like you know, what a day or what a, rather than what a.
Yes.
So, yes, I think it comes from that.
Okay, clever. Well, if people want to get a copy of What a Life, it's available now on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Derek Massey, and we've been chatting to his daughter, Christina. Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.